Blog Talk Radio.
The Almighty Elohim is the Almighty. Elohim is the Almighty. Elohim is the Almighty.
into the saint. I speak increase, God.
Yes.
God. I speak increase in our spirit, man. I speak increase in our mindset. I speak increase in our pocketbooks, God. I speak increase in our health, Lord Jesus. We are holistically increased, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mind, body, and soul. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as you increase our territory, give us the wisdom and the know-how to move forward. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I thank you. For the increase, God. No more do we tolerate just being in the same place. No more would we tolerate and be satisfied with the same things. But Lord God, if we want more, Lord God, teach us how to be good stewards of more. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because we speak of the prophecies and we get excited over the prophecies. But Lord God, when the prophecy comes, allow us, Lord God, the divine wisdom on how to handle them.
Yes.
Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For supernatural debt cancellation.
Yes, God. Jesus, yes.
I know you to have done it before. But Lord God, I'm asking you to do it again.
Yes.
Some of us have hospital bills.
Jesus.
Student loans, God.
Yes,
name your bills, somebody. Somebody say it out loud. Name
bad
your bills.
Decisions.
Bad decisions, God.
Bad
name your name. Bad stewardship, man. Your bills, come
student
on.
Loans.
Student loans, come on.
Credit card.
Credit card debt, God. Audible shot. We need another chance. I'm not even going to say a second chance, but just another chance, God.
Yes.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
For you to blow on that thing.
Yes.
God, foreclosure.
Thanks,
repossession.
Yes.
Oh, shit. I'm not even going to stop.
Yes.
God, we need your help. We can't do it without you.
Tickets.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Tickets, God. Tickets they say I have. I don't know I have. Supernatural.
Yes.
What you say?
iPad.
Come on,
saints,
pray with me.
Yes.
Yes. You got me too.
Taxes.
See, you helping me remember the debt.
Bills from affiliation.
See? Calling you after they didn't went to the grave.
Yes.
That's what I got going on.
Yeah. God, you heard our cry.
Yes.
You said in Psalms that if we called on you,
yes,
you would turn the tide.
Yes.
Turn the tide, God. We need you too. We can't do it. Lord God, Bad loans, God. We lay it at the altar, Jesus. God, we need you. Some of us just need more. It ain't even about a whole lot of debt. They just don't have enough to cover it all, God. We speak increase on jobs, increase on fixed incomes, increase on, Lord God, money that's being held up.
Yeah.
God, I know I need a release on some money that's literally been held up since last August, a year ago. They promised it, God, and the IRS is holding it. Devil is a lie. So, God, I'm asking you today to send your angels round and out and to that north, south, east, and west. Go in between to the northeast and to the southwest, Lord God, and go into the valley lows and the mountain highs and go into the oceans, go into those places, oh God, that we can't even name and cause yet to be erased.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we'll shake. We need it, God. In the might, we repent of bad decisions, but we ask for another chance.
Yes.
We repent on the check was no good when we wrote it.
Yes, God.
Another chance. Yes. We repent, Lord God. Just as Pastor mentioned, bad stewardship.
Yes.
Lord God, yes, a lesson lived is a lesson learned.
We repent.
Because we don't reflect the attributes of you.
Yes.
We repent because we reflect the attributes of you. In ways that we could really do more and better at, Lord God. So help us, Lord. Scripture says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Help us all, Lord God, to reflect you in the ways that you would be pleased, in the ways that would make you smile, in the ways that will cause the angels to rejoice. You said that when we win souls to the kingdom, the angels rejoice. May we win souls to the kingdom, God, because of the attributes we live out of you.
Come on now. Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We repent, Lord God, for taking tomorrow for granted. We always believe that there will be a tomorrow for us. We believe that there's going to be a tonight. Things we can do now and we put off till tomorrow.
Lord.
So, Lord God, we're trying to live for the now because tomorrow I might not be able to win a soul to Christ. Help us, Lord God, as your word said, tomorrow take no thought of that. It has thoughts and cares of its own. We have to live for today. Father, we bless you for this sanctuary at this time.
Yes, Savior.
We bless you for what you're going to do. Well, already have done. I repent.
Yes.
Already done.
Yes.
May we just walk in it.
Yes.
This ain't nothing new for you. You already devised this. We just need to be in alignment of it, God. Well, live it out. Just live it out. Just live it out loud, Lord God. Be with us tonight so that we might be with you in the correct way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this hour and this time of prayer. Just for meeting us. No. For us meeting you here, Lord. Whew. I'm getting it right. I'm trying my best, Father. Help us, Lord God, to see your word in a whole new light tonight.
Yes.
undergird us. We bind up any more technological difficulty.
Yes. Yes.
We loose open lines. We loose open technology. We loose clarity, precision of hearing on the lines in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now. And I praise you. May we all just give him the glory right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
So good evening, everyone. Good evening, Blog Talk. I'm kind of over here tonight. Can you see me? That tree. We are still in the attributes of God. We are, I know we didn't finish. Blog Talk, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. Yes. Okay. So we are still in chapter 2. I know we were supposed to start chapter 3 tonight, but when I started finishing reading from last week, I realized that there was just a little bit more in chapter 2 that I wanted to touch on tonight. And it starts on page, for those who have your books, it starts on page 32. But I will read it out loud. Anything less than God, Julian said, ever me wanteth. And the author goes on to say, I like that little expression, because translated into modern English, it means it won't be enough. Julian said, in effect, oh God, if I have all this hazelnut, everything from the proton to the remotest heavenly body, up and down the scale, all the beautiful things of earth, the sky and the sea, the diamonds of the mines, the timber of the forest, the charm of the landscape, and the riches of the cities. If I have it all and have not thee, ever mean it, meaning it won't be enough. Have you ever even been in a place that you felt like you never got enough of him? Or do we sometimes stand in a place that we've gotten so common by his grace and his mercy, we take advantage of him, take it for granted that he is him, and that we don't want him the way he needs to be wanted. Did that make sense? Do we ever want, like, constant, you all ever been so thirsty that you can drink and drink and drink, and it's no quenching it. You just keep on. You're like, what's wrong? I'm just so thirsty. Dehydrated from the Spirit of the Lord. Dehydrated from his presence. Dehydrated by his glory. Dehydrated by not... Excuse me, all. Not having enough, ever me wanteth. I had to just pause right there, because from reading that, I wanted to be in a place where I could feel like that I want him like that. Like, just want them and want them and want them and want them.
As the deer pants for the water.
So the...
My soul pants for
you. Come on now.
Yes.
Do we pant And these are rhetorical, again, I'm like I said, I'm interactive. These are questions that I really would like to know, because sometimes you do wonder, is it just me? You know, like when you get into maybe a not so hydrated place, you're like, is it just me? Or, yeah, I could have used a little bit more. Anybody feel like that? That you feel like that you're not, and I don't mean not getting enough of him, but the place that you're at is not, let's explain it. You're not satisfied. You're just not satisfied. What you have is not enough. Can I ask you
May I ask you
a question? Because I do know we're live. Who does God, because we're only talking, now we're talking about April Young.
Okay,
let's do that. Start right there, the basics. April Young. Who did God tell you you are?
Who did he say I am? And I want to say that live.
That's why I asked. I'm like, can I ask you first?
He said I was his child. Okay.
Safe is not going to work tonight. No, seriously. Because if God said that you were called to be the evangelist to the nations, you shouldn't be satisfied being here.
Okay.
Now you all see what I'm saying. If that should be a place where what Julian wrote, every me wanted, you should feel that. And this is all hypothetical,
right,
of course.
Right.
If God said that you're going to preach to the four corners of the earth, ever me wanted, LFC or God's House of All Nations or Holy Ghost ABC, let's go there. Let's put it in that church.
Yes.
Let's go to Corner Baptist. Let's put it right there then. Should never be enough. You know what I'm saying? We do it on our jobs. You're like, I've been grown out of this. I'm going, look, I haven't been a secretary for 14 years.
Okay.
I need more than this. We recognize it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they passed me over 3 times. What? Promotion. Right. We can easily notice it in our natural lives. Do we easily notice it in our spiritual lives? Ever me wanted? Do you feel that way?
I think sometimes we feel like we may be at a place and we're just kind of stuck, we're stagnant. Like, let's say we may have outgrown Corner Baptist or whatever church we okay, ABC Pentecostal Church.
Yeah.
You know, Corner Baptist.
Corner Baptist.
We feel like we have outgrown that place.
Yeah.
And we're stuck.
Yeah.
You know.
So stuck. Describe stuck.
It's no longer satisfying me. I'm not getting what I once got, you know.
So what makes you stuck? Because I like that adjective, stuck.
Sometimes I think we're stuck because maybe he has clearly told us, now go to XYZ Pentecostal, and we're like, well, no, I have a sense of loyalty to ABC, or I'm scared of whatever. I mean, so, you know, sometimes we clearly know it's time to transition on, and we keep ourselves in a
So what makes our... Because I'm saying this live on purpose. I am not, I am never trying to offend anybody when I'm, you know, teaching. I'm literally trying to get answers. Like, we're trying to dissect the word, right? We're trying, and all that get an understanding. That's what I'm trying to say. So my question to you is, or you or anybody listening, if God tells us something, go to Corner Baptist, preach the word for 3 weeks, and come back and share the testimonies. But you said you feel obligated to where you're at.
So we're disobedient then.
Okay. That's where I want to go.
If he said go to Corner Baptist for 3 weeks and come back and share, and we're like, well, I'm scared to go because they're not going to receive what I have to say or whatever excuse we make up, then we're disobedient.
So what makes us, is going back to where I'm talking, how do we get so complacent and comfortable in him that it's okay to disobey him and be all right going back to Corner now, XYZ Pentecostal every week and not feel no conviction?
I think it has to do with what you talked about before about being familiar,
mm-hmm.
and believing that, just using a colloquial, he and I got it like that.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. whether I do or I don't do, hopefully I'm right.
Because,
you know, he and I are still
going to
right.
Mm-hmm. God
because
knows.
Because of his grace.
Mm-hmm. Again, we get comfortable with grace and mercy. Those my buds, grace and mercy. We hang deep. But scripture don't lie. Because Judges said, I won't chide with you always. Come on, Doc. Give me the definition of chide.
Struggle.
Or, okay, or,
I didn't hear what you said.
I said I have no clue. I'm sorry.
And where about, who got the
technology?
I won't chide with you always. C-H-I-D-E, meaning I'm not going to have mercy in this place with you always.
Define chide.
Got it. Google.
Get it, Pastor.
You're going to get a spice and upgrade. Reprimand, revoke, reprove,
mm-hmm.
rebuke, admonish, lecture to give someone a peace of one's mind,
mm-hmm.
to take tasks, right, call over the
coal,
haul over the coal. So, in other words, I'm not
going to
keep telling you this over and over.
That's my point. That we don't ever meet one as
someone roasted.
Woo! Oh, I know. I know somebody got roasted by God, but anyway, they told me about it. But how do we do that? We want, like, on your job, in other words, so it is naturally, so it is spiritually. On your job, you're going to do the extra responsibilities or take the extra odd jobs. You're going to work outside your job description, like you're going to be the first to, you know, you're going to do what's necessary to be noticed, so to speak, to add things to your resume to prove that you deserve a promotion or a raise, right? Like we do things like that, right?
Want a new job.
Or want a new job. We might even take extra courses. I'm going to go get this certification, or I'm going to go take that class. I'm going to go get my Type 75. Where's your Type 75 for God? Why, in other words, why do we ever meet one as more naturally than we ever meet one as spiritually? Why do you think that is? Do we ever feel like that God can't take us out at any more point in time, any moment?
And I don't just think it's a matter of ever me want to a work. For me, it's ever me wanted a worship. And ever me wanted an intimacy. And as much as the work that I do or as much as I do in the natural, and that evokes or sparks a tremendous hunger.
Yes.
And it's because of the work and the other natural things that caused me to be unquenched, unsatisfied, hungry, starving, because I get so busy in the work of the church, the work of my home. Like, I remember one time when I was at ABC, and I was in the choir. And at that house, you had to be, I don't know if it was a choir rule or was it a church rule, you had to be at three services a week. Had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Three services a week?
Oh, wow. Oh, it's just when you are.
So, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Oh.
And so, but then I joined a choir, and so I would go to the 10:30, but the choir had to be back at 4 o'clock or something on Sunday afternoon for choir rehearsal, and I lived out of town, and I had a 6-year-old.
Right.
So I was tearing up the highway every Sunday, but
yeah.
I was being faithful in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was driving down the highway one day, and I said, Father, I hate the choir. Do something for me. And he was like, Marcia, you're troubled about many things. You are troubled about many things.
Really?
That's what he told me. And so what he told me to do, because we have so many services, like the earliest service was very short. He said, go to the earliest service and go home.
Wow.
I had like 3 extra hours because it was Sunday when I had to finish my housework and finish cooking and get Christopher prepared for school. And to him, if you come into his presence and you seek after him for the answers that you're trying to work out in work, it's so simple for him. Like, why are you coming to church at 10:30, getting out at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and going up 57 and being back at 4 o'clock? Why are you doing that? Like, you don't have to hate the choir. You just have to let me, in my presence, show you what the answer to this is. So, just always believing that when I accomplish this, accomplish this, and just ad infinitum, those things are going to satisfy me. And he just wanted me to be like Mary and get in his presence.
Okay.
Stay in my presence. And that's for me where my hunger comes from. I just thirst, you know, if I am honest, although I desire to be in that place, that's where my hunger comes from now.
Okay.
And when I say now, I mean currently.
Right.
I want to sit at his feet like Mary and worship him. And then having done that, I thought that when I work my way in, because this is like a marriage.
I like that.
I find when I'm my way back into that intimacy where we're like this, and I'm not taking advantage of him. When I say like this, I don't mean like this. I mean like
this.
Intertwine.
Okay.
Then all the other things become easier. They are not as burdensome or weigh me down. I'm still accomplishing them, but they're in more ease, or they seem to fall into place, or things, they just fall into place more easily. But that's my hunger. It's not a hunger for position or title or doing another work, because I'm doing the work.
Okay.
But I think that's one trap we fall into also. And I'm not sure if who has not taught on that, our busyness in where it takes us away from that which could quench our
thirst. Okay, so are we then so busy? Overseer, women. Overseer, Paulette?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to ask, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me, or us rather, if we, can we just get so busy with the God work that we miss out on God?
Well, absolutely. Work is a lot easier than relationships.
Ooh, damn. Wow.
Say that.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Yes, it is.
Yep.
It's easy to follow some rules, stay within certain brackets, and this is what you expect of me, this is what I do. But I think, first of all, in relationship and in actually God work is us doing something. And rather, what God wants is to allow us to allow him to do the work in us. And we are hands-on people. You know, we want to be actively involved in the process. When the process requires that we are less and less involved in it because we have to crucify our flesh.
Wow. I like that. So the God work is so much easier than working at the relationship of God or with God. With God.
Right.
Working.
And not so much working at it, but surrendering to it and hungering, as Professor said, hungering for it. He wants us to love it. He wants us to love being with him. He doesn't necessarily want us to do stuff for him. You know, he wants to be able to do what he wants through us, and that's him doing it, not us. You know, so he wants us to just surrender to his love and just allow, and that's hard to do. It's so much easier to give than to receive. Even at Christmas time, at gift-giving time, you feel the position of giving is the position we like to take when we need to take the position of receiving, and that's very difficult.
Receiving of him.
Receiving
instead
of him.
Of giving and
all. I want to know. Yeah.
She said what?
From one another.
From one another. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We want to be the one to give.
Oh.
You know, it's hard for us.
You're right.
Nobody wants to be the one that's receiving because they look at it as a lower state. And yet it's a very humble place to be when you receive. And it's so easy to become haughty when you're always giving. That's very difficult. You know, and I don't mean giving as servants, because that's totally different. As a servant, you're really receiving someone else's need and providing it through your sacrifice. But to give, you know, it's very difficult to receive. We want to be givers. We want to be the one with it in our hand and reaching out to people with it.
Wow. Wow. So that's why we ever me wanted. Because we're not being satisfied. Because we're too busy giving and too busy doing, being in a relationship.
I know I am a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And when Overseer was just talking about being...
Just speak up for
her. I'm sorry. When Overseer was talking about the place of being, you know, sometimes a haughty place. You know, and it takes a lot of humility to receive.
Yeah.
For me, I don't receive compliments. I don't want you to do anything for me. And pick an area, work, church, pick one, personally, you know, whatever. But even in the season, I'm of giving, you know, some of my staff want to give me a gift. And I'm just like, no, I don't want it, because then that does subconsciously put me in another place.
Yeah.
You know, then for me it becomes performance driven. So now I have to outgive you because giving shows how much I love you, you know, or how much I appreciate you.
It's the truth. I have staff.
You know,
I get
so,
it.
You know, the same, you know, what she was just saying, and I just think about it for my household, and, you know, I think it's funny when I wasn't in a place of wisdom of that, I was able to give, you know.
Right.
Just whatever you see. Oh, yeah, she'll love this $500 Coach purse. Let me get it for her. Mm-hmm. You know, but then when it becomes very difficult to even give a $5 bag of chips, you know.
Yeah. I get you.
Whatever, you know, to me, that becomes a much more thing, you know, for me, and the same in ministry then.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing this as a family, we're doing it with total surrender. I think it's total surrender.
You know, I have to repent because, you know, I would work really long hours. I work late after school. And, you know, I'm a relationship person, and I'm a giver. And so I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm working, and we have a female custodian. And she comes to my classroom, and we have tea together. So, you know, sometimes she has to go back on her floor, or sometimes I'm leaving, and, you know, I have a few mugs in my room, and, you know, you can use my mug. I got to go. Just take it, whatever, whatever. So one day about 3 weeks ago, she came to my room, and we had very little creamer left.
Oh.
And she said, Ms. Echo, you want me to bring you some creamer? And I'm like, no, don't do that.
See.
I you know, Maxine, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I'll buy the creamer. And then I went into this big old religious thing about how, you know, this house needs to be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
When
she's trying to be a blessing to you.
Yeah, revelatory. That was, yeah. That's exactly what happened. And it put me, just like Overseer said.
On time.
And that was so religious. I have to repent. That put me on top if I'm the one who's able to give to you. So she's coming to my room. You know, she comes in there maybe once or twice a week or something, and I'm working and we're chit-chatting and we're drinking tea. She's trying to be a blessing to me.
Yeah, and she, I'm assuming, really, she saw the relationship as being two-way.
Right, right.
Like, we both sit here and have tea.
Right.
Let me. Right.
Right. Wow.
You could have at the same time felt like this girl done took the last of the creamer. You think she brings some creamer. Usually that's people's argument.
Yeah.
No, she said we didn't have
no creamer. And I told her, I said, no, this allows me to be a blessing to you.
Your company, your fellowship. Was the blessing to
right, the relationship.
Yeah, the relationship.
Yeah.
So God is after our relationship.
So that's not repentance.
Yeah. No, you got to repent.
To her.
I think God has heard you.
Okay, well, praise the Lord.
I know, right?
Coffee made,
huh? Not daily.
I'm going to need that creamer after all, girl.
But we have to think about that because God doesn't even need anything that we offer him. Meaning he's God, right?
Right.
It's not like we could buy him a Rolls Royce. There's not we can't give him anything. So yes, no, right. So the only thing he can ask of us and does want from us is relationship. Like, there is not a Bentley out here expensive enough to give to him. So we do get caught up in the things, meaning the work, the do, and the duties.
I think that that's what causes us to be the type of worshipers or servers that we are because, you know, it is, I can't get you anything. You know, so imagine yourself with a natural relationship. What do you give the person that has everything? And then you do, so then we give of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, but then what do you decide? I mean, you know, it's the same. That's exactly what he wants, but we don't measure it to him. You know, we don't. And I think that's what makes us, let me change that. I think that's what makes me like an emotional worshiper or an emotional server, you know, in whatever capacity he has me do, because this is really all that I have.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am. You know, he said, "Willing over quarrel with a broken spirit in my heart." He wants my my emotions that unwrap it, and I can display them all at the same time. But, you know, he wants that. You know, but we don't feel that is a worthy gift to give. But that is literally what he wants. You know, and he can change that. You know, exactly. You know, and we don't give up of ourselves.
Right.
So easy.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's authentic. He wants to authentic us.
But the authentic, a lot of us feel embarrassed to get the authentic us. That's what I'm saying. So we're in church building. Mm-hmm. You know, we're together in a place. Ain't nobody about to be getting all transparent up in here. Because I might manifest some stuff I never want y'all to see.
Because we cannot get him what is authentically us. So when you're around, you get people look like it or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's the same concept. He can't do anything with it because it wasn't authentic, which leaves us in a place of complacency.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, XYZ place.
Yes.
You know, and which is why we don't move, and we don't, which is why we become angry and stagnated and stuck. Because we're not allowing ourselves to be transparent. So he can heal the true hurt.
Come on.
So we keep giving him surface stuff, and surface stuff, you know, is going to follow around.
Yeah.
And the crows and the birds going to come and eat it up.
Yes.
Because we're not allowing him to penetrate, or as our lovely apostle says, peel back.
But do we ever get down to that little bitty core in the center of that onion?
We don't even want to peel the onion.
Yeah, because by layer 5, we're like, you know.
Layer 2. I can't do this.
You know the part of the onion when you touch it, it just falls off?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm good. Shell gone.
And that's the dry, dead stuff anyway.
It's going to slough off.
At one point, a layer. You know, that is just dry and dead.
So we never.
And that has layers to it.
It does. It does. And we don't give him what he's owed of the ever me wanted. We don't give him that. Because who was that in the Bible? Help me. She wanted to live. Who is that? Oh, my God, help me. She wanted to live in a church. She just wanted to. That was Anna?
The one who wanted to,
and gave up her child, and they moved into the church. Okay. I need to study her a little more. I don't remember it being Anna.
Anna was the widow, the elderly woman. So
she gave up her life and moved into the church because all she wanted to do was serve the Lord.
That was Anna.
And so they thought.
Who was that overseer? We over here arguing whether or not it's Anna.
So hard,
Anna was a widow from a very young age, and she lived in the church. But that's because she was widowed at a very young age, and so Anna. Lived in the church.
Okay.
She was the first one
right. That's she ever me wanted, you know. Like, okay, this is my life now. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to serve. This is how I want to be used. This is me.
Apostle, can you read the ever me wanted passage or phrase or statement?
Okay.
Page 32.
It was what page?
Page 32.
Oh, thank you. I'm like, wait. Hunger for God. Anything less than God, Julian said, ever me one. See, anything less than God, Julian said, ever me wanteth. I like, skip the part. It won't be enough. Oh God, if I have all this hazelnut. Hazelnut, let me describe that so you all understand why she's saying that. Hazelnut was a vision that God had given her of what she could see. It was like a God's eye view. The hazelnut represented the earth, but he gave her that for something she could see. Okay. Everything from the proton to the remotest heavenly body, up and down the scale of all the beautiful things of earth, the sky and the sea, diamonds of the mines, the timber of the forest, the charm of the landscape, and the riches of the cities. If I have it all and have not thee, ever me wanteth, it won't be enough. And then at Lord, she even says, and no matter what, oh wait, the problem with the world today is that everybody is saying, ever me wanteth, and doesn't know it. There's a little shrine inside of you, a shrine so far in that nobody can know it but you. There's an innermost part of a deep, deep shrine, a garden eastward in Eden, Genesis 2 and 8. It lies in that great soul of yours, the soul that is bigger than the starry universe. There's a shrine, there's a garden, and a throne. And no matter what, you'll get a cry from that shrine. Ever me wanteth, oh God, I'm still hungry. I'm still hungry. You know how we want to be able to pay every bill on time, raise the credit score, go into a store, just be able to buy the Rolex. And that's how much it is. You know how we want that, right? Pay off the tickets, whatever, student loans, hospital bills, foreclosures, tickets, you know, the list is like, yeah.
Taxes, whatever.
And then we're done. Don't you all notice that the richest people are the ones who always commit suicide? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, remember the guy, Robin Williams? You like, look at, you know what I'm saying? Like, we went through 1 year, either it was 2016 or 2015, like every almost 2-3 weeks, this one commits suicide. That one committed suicide. I mean, Hollywood was just like suicide city. I'm going to give you a little bit. I had a little bit of a highlight for a while. But it was to a place where I could, you know, I went downtown, got me a condo, I furnished it. $30,000 cash I paid for my furniture. I walked out the door happy. You know, I've had that. Came back, you know, furniture delivered. I mean, everything new all the way down to silverware. And then you look, literally, all around, everything new. I put in bamboo floors because I didn't like the floors they had. You know, and it was an ever me wanted dot. Because then I looked around and it was like
vanity.
It wasn't even vanity no more. It was so much deeper than that. Because it was like, I literally remember going up the stairs. I had a bi-level condo. So I go around like these winding stairs and then I could see the whole lakefront, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm literally going around the stairs, up the stairs. I get to where all this is glass. And I remember pressing my nose up against the glass, looking outside at the lake. I'm trying to give you a feel, but I can't. And And the words came out of my mouth. This is what rich people feel like, to have everything they could ever want.
It's good about the past time.
But it was so lonely. It was so unsatisfying. Like, yeah, I like for my house to be decked out.
So did you understand what I meant when I said vanity? I didn't mean vain, because you had, I meant like Solomon said.
Oh, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Oh, yes, that type of vanity, yes. Yes, because there was an ever me wanted in that moment.
Still not satisfied.
Right.
And I think that's in a lot of, you don't even have to go to that level. I get, I don't know what I used to call them. If I get in my whatever, mm-hmm. then I want a new car.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm just like obsessive till I get that car.
I'm just focus driven
till I get. But whatever that thing is, once mm-hmm. I get it,
then you're good.
In the garage now what?
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
So there's
once
not
you've accomplished
that
you could not live without, or you had to have, or yeah.
So we never arrive.
Under the sun.
I think that's why God shared with us, why are you spending money for food that does not satisfy? Why are you doing that? And he's just coming by with no money, everything that you want, you get from him. But he understood that that would be our pursuit. And he was telling us in advance, it's you spend it for food that doesn't satisfy, and water, and you're still thirsty. Mm-hmm. But you spend your money on those mm-hmm. things, your resources, your the things that he has given you that's of value. You trade them for things that have no value whatsoever. Oh. And I think that even with our debt and that sort of thing, because he blesses us to be a blessing.
Mm.
But often when we are blessed, we bless some people. Not that we're selfish. But it's to build his kingdom. And I love the way Paul or John the Baptist, you know, and I'm not saying we're supposed to live in poverty either. Absolutely not.
Right.
And yet the thing that he gives us, he has a plan mm-hmm. for them. That check we get, he has a plan for it. But we rarely
Amen.
Ask for his plan, because we've already spent it, really, if we know what's coming. If we be truthful, you know, I'm going to get this, I'm going to be in
right.
the whole bit.
You know what's coming,
but,
come on now.
Yep.
You ain't, we ain't even sought the Lord on it.
Absolutely. And yet he has a plan for it. You know, and that's where the receiving his plan and letting it overshadow whatever it is we were going mm-hmm. to do. We want to be givers. No, receive his plan for what you have and then proceed. And that's where relationship comes from. Or is established.
Wow. So we have this responsibility to consult God that we fail, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else shall be added. And so our ever meet one is cometh from disobedience. Because more than likely, if we were to seek him first on everything, we would make the decisions he would have for make, and then that everything else would be added would come through the satisfaction of ever me wanteth being satisfied. So going back to a good idea is never not necessarily a God idea.
Yes.
And you're right. I knew the money was coming. And I didn't just purpose in my heart, this is what I'm going to do, but I purposed in, I mean, where I was going to go, but I purposed in my heart, I was moving. Mm-hmm. To the east side. To a deluxe apartment. You know, because, think about it. Don't we feel like, here's the spirit of entitlement, don't we feel like we deserve some stuff sometimes?
Absolutely.
Us being transparent right now. Like, I be telling God right now, because I still don't have a car, right? Like, it's been long enough. Like, I feel like you don't want me on the bus. Like, Lord, why, when? Like, for me, it's like, what's the problem? Catalina found the hill belonging to you. Why am I still on the bus? I'm not understanding that. Because I literally feel like I deserve,
Pastor,
a new, wait, I told him this morning, I said, let me scratch that. No, I want a new car. I had graduated from a month ago, because I put the app in a month ago, from a used, I don't want nobody else's problem. I got up this morning and scratched that, Doc.
You want a new car.
I did. I deserve, who said? Did he say that?
You did.
So who said? You see? Who said it, though? So we get in I told her, I don't want to buy nobody else's problem. I done been through that a few times. I want a new car. Because, here's a good one. Don't we do this one, too? Wait. Because in that, doing the work, the service, being dedicated or faithful, even if you will. I deserve some things. Now, I will not devalue the scripture that says, as long as you obey my laws and statutes, I will cause you to ride upon the high places. You know, I'm kind of there. But even in those high places, we'll be so high on him, in him, that the low won't even look low to us. You just become satisfied with that 2012 Honda Civic. It don't matter. Can we get to a place in him that our wanted, our panic, you know, we panic after him so tough that it doesn't matter that we're buying or riding in a jitterbug. Because it just literally doesn't matter. And I believe that if we ever get into a place in that we are in the relationship that Overseer spoke about in him, yes, I believe we will eat the good of the land. I believe that the land that flows with milk and honey. I believe that we'll ride upon the high places. I believe that he'll give us the desires of our heart. But we just are desiring, wanting, and doing in all the wrong places and with all the wrong motives. We gonna ever meet one? In my life, what time is it? 25. What time?
25.
Okay, amen. I didn't talk. Okay, can I just read that? I didn't realize Overseer is 8:25. I'm going to read a little something for everyone. This is still in chapter 2, but it's called God Must Be First. We know this. We hear this. But are we in unity with this? God must be first. It's rather a cynical thought. An ironic thought that the richest nation in the world manages to have the most divorces, the most suicides, and the most juvenile delinquency. It proves again that no matter how much you give a man, if he misses God, he cries, ever me wanteth, and goes out to do some crime. If you give him everything and then add God to it, you have wronged him, and he has wronged his own soul. For God wants to be first and wants to be all. Money won't do it. If you take the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will add money. Oh, I just said that. God will add money to you as much as you need. If you take the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God may send your way learning and art and music and other legitimate earthly loves. God may send it all. This is getting to me right here. God may send it all to you and let you have it, but it is always with the understanding that he can take it away and you won't grumble. You still have God, and God is all. Isaiah wrote, thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. And the days of the morning shall be ended. The silk weaver, remember Israel? Germany, Gerard Tester, I don't know his name, wrote a kind of wild paraphrase on this. Oh, fast and gone, how great is God? How small am I? A mote in the illimitable sky. And lets the glory deep and wide and high of heaven's unclouded sun, near to forget myself forevermore, lost, swallowed up in love's immensity, the sea that knows no sounding and no shore. God only there, not I. Nor nearer than I am to myself can art thou to me. So have I lost myself in finding thee, the boundless heaven of thine eternal love, around me and beneath me and above. In the glory of that golden day, the former things are passed away. So, Lord God, I ask even tonight that, Lord God, those former things in us be passed away. May we cling to you, panteth after you, starve for you, thrive to you, draw near unto you in the capacities that you desire from us, leaving those things that don't serve us in any capacity to satisfy. Because, yes, God, you are all. You are all in all. May we ever want it to serve you, to make you happy, to bring joy to you, to enlarge the gates of the kingdom. And make you be satisfied with us, pleased with us, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Help us to study, setting aside time to be with you, so that, Lord God, when that day come or that hour come that we've set aside, you beat us there so that we know that you've already come. It's time to stop cooking or stop grocery shopping, stop ripping and running, because we've set aside a time to be there. Help us, God, in the name of Jesus, that as the old year passes out and the new year comes, that we set aside that newness of life within us of you to make you be satisfied with us, Lord God, that we can be all that you desire for us to be in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let those, Lord God, who don't have the book be able to just meditate on what they heard on tonight of you, so that we can just be in relationship with you. meditate on you, pray to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your awesome and mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, Blog Talk. We thank you for participating.
Thank you so much. And we do wish everybody a blessed, holy Christmas. And the next time we're having a special service next Wednesday. Is that correct, Apostle?
Yes, ma'am. A skit called Silent Scream.
Silent Scream. So be sure to tune in on Blog Talk. And do be blessed and honor our Savior. Honor our Savior. Let us bow before the King and bring him gifts of love and obedience and faithfulness. Amen and amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.